Morning is probably more suited to the last few verses of our scripture reading that Brother Malcolm read for us just a moment ago, because there in those verses the Apostle Paul talks about his dependence upon Christ, upon the Lord. The Lord will see me through is the idea that he puts forth there. And when we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we find multiple places where he talks about walking with Christ is the idea he emphasizes. We could spend our time in the book of Ephesians in talking about walking with Jesus, walking as a Christian. And the Apostle Paul himself says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Of course, this is the first Sunday of the month. It's also the first day of the month. And this means that we are looking at one of our songs in our songbook. One that most of us are probably very familiar with. In fact, the chorus says, "Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, this is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be." And I'm sure most of us recognize the song, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee," as a song we sing. It is a very beautiful song in its words. It has a very meaningful message when we consider actually what those words have to say. And if we are singing it with the truth and the spirit that we use to worship God, I feel it is a song that should prompt us, maybe even affect us, because it is a plea to walk near to Jesus Himself. And I think when we start talking about this idea, one of the first things that we need to consider is, do I seek to be close to Jesus? Do I work at being near God? Or do I want to handle life on my own? We oftentimes see children in various situations and they're walking very close to their parents when they're in a new place. I recall way back, and I was on up in my, well, I wasn't in my teens yet. I was probably still in the top of the single digits, but I thought I was older than that. We went to Mammoth Cave, and I recall sticking pretty close to the parents as we started out through there. And when they turned the lights out, all four of us kids, well, Dad was holding it, and Mom were holding a couple of us, but all four of us kids were right there with our parents, and so were all the other kids, because they recognized the safety and the protection, the care of their parents, that they would watch out for them. And when we as parents go places with our children, we want to keep them close to us. And I think that's a good illustration of the attitude we need to have toward being near God. He's our place of security and safety. And as we look at the words of the three verses of this song, I hope that it causes us to be more likely to draw near to God. Because when we do that, it makes our life so much easier. Of course, there are some things that we need to recognize about our need for God before we're really going to desire to be with God. As children, we instinctively recognize a need for our parents when we're young. As we get older, we pull away from them. And then sometimes we recognize maybe I ought to keep a little closer to them and their ideas than I actually thought I should, because of the safety and the help that is there. But this song itself is a plea for Jesus to help us as we walk through this life. And one of the reasons I chose this song to look at is it is a song that the things it touches on kind of are associated with the things we're studying in our Bible classes, because Isaiah's prophecies, the warnings that Isaiah gives through the inspiration of God, are literally a plea for Israel and Judah to come back to God before they suffer these consequences. And the book of 1 John that we just started in our Wednesday night class is a book that talks about us and walking with God. It's instructional in how we can walk with God. And so I'm hoping that this lesson will also be a benefit to us as we go through and study those studies. Maybe it'll be something that we think of as we're looking at some of those passages we'll be dealing with. But I want us to take note as we begin. The first thing this song says is, I am weak. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied just as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. The first thing that we need to accept in recognizing our need to walk close to Jesus is that I am weak. That's a hard one for us to swallow. Especially those of us who have grown up in the decade of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. In the century of be a man. And take care of things yourself. In a time of strong men and strong women standing up on their own, caring for themselves, caring for their families. And the urgency that is placed upon us, or was in our generation, of needing to step up to responsibility. We get this attitude of, I can take care of myself. I can handle it. Whatever's thrown at me, I can do it. And many of us physically, yes, we can. There's many of those who are servants of the Lord, many who are not servants of the Lord as well, that if everything was to fall apart tomorrow, no electricity, no running water, no air conditioner. No grocery store. Car won't start. We could still get up and make our way through the world. We could. We've learned how to care for ourselves and how to care for others. And if we were to band together, we could stand strong. We could be like our ancestors and survive. No, I won't quote this country song. We can handle things. And that puts us at a disadvantage in recognizing our true weakness. Because when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to overcoming sin, when it comes with dealing with temptation and Satan and his minions going out trying to destroy our souls, we are weak. But Christ is strong. I think that's part of what Paul is telling Timothy here. As Brother Malcolm made mention, this is Paul's last letter, most likely. The last things that he wrote it to his dear friend Timothy, one who was his son in the faith, one that he had trained, he had taught, and he writes to Timothy and he says, I'm about to die, but I know that no matter what happens to me, God is my strength. Jesus will take care of me. Why? Because I have put my life in His hands. I know he didn't say those exact words, but that's the point he makes a couple of different times in this letter. I fought the fight, finished the course, kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, just like the Lord has laid up for everyone who serves and follows Him. We need to acknowledge our weakness. Accept our vulnerability. And I guess one of the good places to do that and recognize the attitude that we need to have in regards to our weakness against temptation and sin is turned to David's prayer to God in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. This is after David's sin with Bathsheba. And he basically comes to God and says, God, please cleanse me because I am weak and I have failed. I let my weaknesses bring me down because I did not trust in your strength. And he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You notice David in this, not a thing that David said in this comes out as, God, I'm doing this and therefore. David's attitude is, God, I can't. I need you. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide my face from sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. David doesn't say, Lord, I will clean my heart. I will restore my soul. He says, God, please do this for me because I cannot do it myself. We are weak, but God is strong. He says, after God has done these things, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will see aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. David said, I can't offer enough sacrifices to make it up. All I can do is come to you broken and in humility, recognizing my weakness. And again, I think that's something that we just don't like to admit. I can't fix it myself. How can that be true? Anything that breaks, I can fix it somehow or another. I can make it work again. Until it comes to sin. And I can't fix it. I'm not even strong enough to withstand all temptation. But Jesus is. And He proved it. By living a perfect life. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the thorn in the flesh that he was given. And how it was to keep him humble. And he prayed to God. He said, I prayed three times that he would remove it from me. But beginning in verse 9, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, Lord, please take care of this. And God said, no, you need to be reminded of your weakness. You need to be reminded of how you depend upon me. And Paul says, thank you, God, for my weakness. I'll rejoice in it. I will be reminded that my weakness is where I find my strength because I depend on you. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied. God's grace is sufficient. It's when we embrace our weaknesses and let Jesus work through us that we find our strength. Can I be satisfied with letting God work through me? Not me, but God through me. Paul told the Philippian brethren, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm strengthened by knowing that through Christ I can accomplish, not through Dan Henderson, not through the local body of the saints, but through Christ. I can do all things. The proverb writer reminds us that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. The only way we can know that we're walking the righteous path, the straight way, is if we are putting our hearts and minds into the hands of Jesus. Letting Him have control. And by relying on Him, we have the strength to overcome. Second verse says, through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord. None but Thee. Now, I want to start by acknowledging that we all have those who support us and help us. Those of us who are blessed with a spouse who loves the Lord, who's striving to serve the Lord, recognize and understand that support and that help. Those of us who have parents or siblings who are serving God, we recognize that support and that help. Those who are part of a local congregation, understand we have support and help. But none of that comes to the measure of support and help we have with Christ. Nobody cares, what? No one ever cared for me like Jesus? There's a song. No one loves me like God does. No one is concerned about my well-being like God is. That's what this verse is saying. I'm walking through a world that is full of trip points. When I try to picture this setting in my mind, I remember some of the woods I used to play in as a little feller and some of the woods I've walked in as an older guy. When we played in the woods down there in Mississippi, there was pasture and woods right behind our house, but there were cows that lived in there. Pretty much underneath the trees and all was kept clear. and clean. We could take off running through there, and other than maybe a root or something that had gotten knocked up or something, we didn't have to worry too much about tripping up and falling. When we moved down to Jasper, Texas, and were living there, there were woods behind our house. You did not take off running through those woods. They were filled with leaves and vines and shrubs and roots and dead trees and broken limbs. There was not a straight path through there except where somebody cut a road because they were going to make the subdivision bigger. You did not take off running through those woods because it was filled with snares and trips. You were pretty much guaranteed if you didn't walk very carefully through there and watch where you took every step, you were going to fall. Or you were going to step on something. That's what this verse is saying. Our world is filled with toils and snares. Satan is out there and his minions are doing everything they possibly can. His followers, his teachers, his servants, whichever term you want to use to describe them, are out there actively working to cause us problems as we strive to serve the Lord. Sometimes they are actually working against me personally. Sometimes they're just working against anyone who believes in God. But no matter, the trip hazards are always there. Now, when I would fall in the woods, or let me just say, when our kids would fall in the woods down there in Jasper, there was somebody that cared. Their mama usually, but a lot of times they got, well, pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and be more careful next time from dad. Well, that's not because I didn't care. I wanted to help them learn how to overcome those things, how to watch over them. But if they were hurt, we picked them up. We held them. We treated their boo-boos. Because we care. But even a parent doesn't care for a child like Jesus cares for his. We walk through this world full of trials and tribulations. And when we fall in this world, almost literally no one cares. No one wants to help us carry our burden. But Jesus will. He's the one that's always there for us, no matter what's going on in our life. We may be at our deepest and darkest moment in life, and we may be living with our family, but they're not aware of what's going on. But Jesus is there, and we can talk to Him about it, and He will help us through it. He will help us find what we need in order to overcome that dank and dark part of our life. When we surrender to Christ, we can know that we have the strength to move forward with what really matters. In Matthew chapter 11, we have the call that Jesus issues. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's always been interesting to me that Jesus' solution to our heavy burden is to bring that burden to Him and pick up His burden. Which is an easier and lighter burden. Why? Because Jesus is holding that burden as well. When we lay aside our worries and cares before Jesus, when we go to God in prayer and say, Lord, please help me with my troubles, we find peace. If we are willing to put ourselves under His yoke. If we're willing to work for Jesus as we go through life, we can find rest from the troubles and trials of this world. And the greater our burden, the more relief we will find by putting ourselves in His hands. His closeness, His nearness in our life is a reassurance that we can carry on. The psalmist in Psalm 34, 17 and 18, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The vulnerability that we feel in trying to get through this world is overcome when we find the comfort and peace that are present when we are near Him. Because He cares for us. And He is able and willing to help carry our burdens like no one else can. What we have here is in some ways the image of Jesus as our shepherd. He's the one who's watching out and caring for us. Of course, the psalmist talks about this in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we are with Jesus, when we let Him take the lead, when we put ourselves into His hands and walk with Him, He provides for us. He watches over us and protects us. He keeps us out of trouble. And He goes and finds us and brings us back. If we put our trust in Him. In John chapter 10, Jesus deals with this idea of Him being the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I protect and care for. I keep them in safety. They know me, and I know them. Jesus is there to help us stand up and walk through the difficulties and struggles of this life. Not lay down and give up. Not have to crawl at whatever pace we might be able to push ourselves to. He's there to give us the strength to get up and go. Paul talks about this to the Ephesian brethren. He's talking a little bit more about the armor of God than walking with Jesus, but the ideas are the same. He said, put on the whole armor of God and then stand. And after you put on that armor and stand, then you just stand. Stand firm. Don't move, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keeping ourselves close to Jesus gives us the strength. Our burdens are opportunities for the grace of God to help us. But we have to let Him help us. When we put our focus on Jesus, when we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, or the author and finisher of our faith, we put our problems behind us and strengthen our own faith. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When we walk with Jesus, we are reminded constantly of His victory. And it helps us to find the guts, or if you don't like that word, the gumption, to keep on walking in face of all the adversity. Yeah, I could have used strength or courage, but guts and gumption get the word across. We know what those are. It gives us the ability to get up and keep moving. Because when we walk beside Jesus, He is there and He will help us stand. The third verse says, when my feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore. To thy shore. A call to Christ to guide us home. Lord, I am weak. Let me depend upon Your strength. Lord, I fall. Help me stand. Lord, I waver and get lost. Guide me home. Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without You. I dare not try to take one step alone. Lord, guide me home. Precious Lord, hold my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am weak. I am tired. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night. Precious Lord, guide me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. How often in your prayers to God do you cry out, Jesus, help me go home. Show me the way. Guide me down that path. Because I know my time on this earth is limited. I know that one day I will end here. Lord, I want You beside me so that I can continue at home in Your kingdom, sure. He's our guide to prepare us and lead us into the eternal kingdom of God. Paul told the Colossian brethren in chapter 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Do you see yourself as having died, and your life now hid in Christ? I think one of the big things, first we admit that we're weak. Then we have to admit, I'm not going to live forever. And I need to be ready for what's coming next. Are we walking the pathway of life that will take us to heaven? Well, if we're walking with Jesus, yes. Is our plea to Christ to walk with me and hold my hand so that I can go to be with you? Because as Paul told the Philippian brethren, I recognize my citizenship is in heaven. And from heaven, I await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform my lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. And I know I've changed some of those pronouns in there to emphasize it's about me. Not just about us. It's about me. And while we have no desire to change Scripture, I think sometimes when we read passages like that, we need to read it as if Paul is saying, you are the one I'm talking about. I have a citizenship in heaven. Because I have been raised with Christ and He is my Savior. And so I need to set my mind on what is coming, not on what is around me. That's part of what the Hebrew writer was telling us when we read from Hebrews chapter 12 a while ago. Put our eyes on Jesus who is sitting on the throne instead of our eyes on the things around us. We need to be calling out to God, to Christ, please, Lord, walk with us. And God is waiting for us to ask Him to help. You ever thought about that? We haven't gotten there yet, but over in Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah's prophecy and plea there is, come back to God. He wants to draw them back to Him. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Sheba, in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God says, bring them back to me. And Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, follow me. Jesus says, walk with me. Because with God, we are assured victory. Hebrew writer in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 12 says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. When we come to God, we've come to that which is right and proper and perfect, and will take us home to be with Him for eternity. Paul wrote to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 7, and he says, I keep messing up. He says, I find it to be a law when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. I keep messing up. I think I've got everything going right, and then I do something stupid. I'm headed down the road and everything looks great, and I take a wrong turn. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? How am I going to get out of this mess? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how. The Lord will see us through this mess. The Lord will guide us down the righteous and upright pathway. The Lord is there to hold our hand. And if we will walk close to the Lord, if that is our daily focus, if that is at the top of our to-do list, with a reminder every hour on that to-do list, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking with Jesus will make the difference. We need to cry out to God, let it be. Let it be. It's not enough just to say, I'm going to walk with Jesus. We need to say, God, help me walk with Jesus. And then we need to put through the effort that keeps us close to Jesus. Closer to Thee, near by Thy side. We need to cry out to Jesus, abide with me. We need to follow the glowing footprints of Jesus. Yeah, there's a bunch of songs that talk about that. And I think it's something that we need to be thinking about more often. Do I want to walk close to Jesus? Now, sometimes we start doing things in life and we are kind of like those folks they talked about over in the book of John, where it says, because of what we're doing, we'd really rather walk in the darkness instead of the light, because we don't want anybody to see what we're doing. Of course, that's at the time we truly need to cry out to Jesus, light me up, Lord. Show me where I'm wrong. We need to cry out like David, Lord, please wash me. Purge me with hyssop and wash me clean. For I recognize my wrongs and I need your help to overcome them. That's a privilege that belongs to those who are children of God, those who have been raised with Christ. We can seek the things that are above. We can go to God and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I have failed. I've done this wrong, and maybe I've done that wrong as well. Lord, help me overcome that and forgive me of that. Help me walk so that I don't fall in that way again. If you're not a child of God, you don't have that direct privilege of prayer. Oh, you can pray to God, Lord, please help me understand your word. I'm convinced Scripture tells us that. But until you make yourself a part of the family of God, you don't have that easy access, as we might reference. But if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can be in the family of God. If you're willing to confess that before men and before God. That Jesus is God's Son. He walked on the earth. He died for my sins and He was raised again. And now He sits as King. All you got to do then is turn away from yourself and the things of the world and give everything to God. Then you can be buried in baptism, buried with Him in the watery grave and rise up out of that watery grave a new creature because your sins have been washed away. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. That's the command Peter gave after that first gospel sermon. Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip after he'd heard the message of Jesus. When Ananias came to Paul, or Saul, after he had seen Jesus on the road to Damascus and been sent to Damascus to wait instructions, he said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Baptism washes away our sins. We're not saved until our sins are gone. Baptism takes those sins away through the precious blood of Jesus Christ when we are buried with Him and then raised with Him out of that watery grave. So here's the question. Are you walking with Jesus? If you're not, do you want to? Can we help you get back to Him? Time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for encouragement.